I'm now moving to the second part of the course in financial risk, and that is modeling of credit risk. And credit risk is a sort of the basis for the entire financial system. It's the reason it exists, and it's fantastically important for all of us. And the main problem is, of course, the risk that if you lend or an institution lends some person or some other company money, then maybe the company doesn't pay back. This part of the course is based on lecture notes by Alexander Herbertsen, who is a lecturer in the School of Business at Gothenburg University. And hopefully you all have by now gotten the hard copy version of the lecture notes. These slides I'm going to talk about are also written by Alexander, and he used to do this part of the course earlier, in earlier versions of the course. And today I'm talking about lecture six in our lecture series, and I'm now on page two of lecture six. And it says sort of what are the goals and what is going to happen in the next three lectures, this lecture and the two more to come. And what we will do is look at the distribution of losses for the credit portfolio. So you have a portfolio of various credit instruments. Maybe you've lent money to company A, to company B, to company C, and so on. Then what's the risk that you lose some of this money you've lent, or that the bank loses the money it has lent to the companies? And one is, of course, very interested in understanding what the probabilities are. What is the probability that the loss is bigger than this, for example? So the loss, on the second bullet point, the loss distribution is used to compute risk measures such as value at risk, etc. And there's a list of what this lecture will contain. So you can read that yourselves. On page two of lecture six, page three, I'm sorry, on page three of lecture six, you get the definition of credit risk. This is what I talked about a bit vaguely, and here it's more sort of strict. So the credit risk is the risk that an obliger does not honor his payments or her payments. Obliger is the person, is the entity which has borrowed the money. So credit risk is the risk that a loan is not paid back. An obliger, the entity which has borrowed the money, could be a company, and it could have borrowed money from a bank, or it could have borrowed money from other institutions or from you by issuing bonds. A household can have borrowed money from a bank, maybe to buy a house or a car. And banks borrow money or do more complicated contracts with one another. And we'll mainly be interested in defaults. If you don't borrow, if some entity does not pay back the money it's lent, it typically has to go bankrupt. It's said to default. And so this default could be that a company goes bankrupt, or a company fails to pay a coupon on time for some of its issued bonds, or a household fails to pay amortization or interest rate on their loans. So these are examples of defaults, and they are more wide than just going bankrupt. And as always, it's good to think about what are the sort of components of credit risk. It's always, when you think about how to sort of handle financial risks, definitions or lists are good. So here is one decomposition of credit risk. And one part is arrival risk. It's just the risk of whether a default will happen in a given time period. Timing risk is a risk connected to the uncertainness of the exact time point of arrival risk. So it's if you look at the risks of default during a year, then of course it's also important to know if the risk, if the default comes in January or in December or some time in between. Then there's recovery risk. Typically, a default doesn't mean that the entire amount which has been lent to the obliger is lost. Typically, a part will be paid back in a bankruptcy or in the negotiation, say, with the households. And another sort of a different kind way of characterizing credit risks is default dependency risk. The risk that several obligers jointly default during some specific time period. This is typically the most crucial risk factor and the reason that really that portfolio risk exists as a sort of a part of the financial risk discipline. And what we talk about is default dependency risk. But to do this, we'll start with the case where there is no dependency. So page 5 says why portfolio credit risk is important. And it starts with saying that the risk models depend on what kind of portfolios you're looking about on. Typically, you look at a portfolio of loans, and then what does one want to know about it? Maybe one wants to know value at risk or expected shortfall, or there are much more complicated financial interests, which financial instruments which are used in the financial industry. And one also needs to think about how to handle these. So these could be CDOs or things called CDOs or basket default swaps. Maybe you'll hear some about instruments like that in the reading projects. Well, in both cases, we need to consider this default dependency risk, but in risk management modeling, the timing risk is often ignored. And then one talks about static portfolio, credit portfolio models. So that's the idea, and that's what we're going to look at in these lectures. It's just so whether there'll be a default or how many defaults there'll be in the next year, not the exact timing on when they appeared or when they occurred. And going to the second part above, this is this timing risk is very important when you look at these credit derivatives, CDOs and the basket default swaps, but we'll not talk about it here. We'll just focus on static credit portfolio models. So page 6, that's three main references on credit risk, and The middle book is just about credit risk. The two other books, the books by McNeil Frey and M. Brechts, and by Hult and Lindskog in Stockholm, they deal with many more aspects of financial risks than just credit risk. But they're all useful books. On page 6, gives an overview of what's happening in this lecture. It'll be the binomial model and the mixed binomial model. But to handle these models, we need to go back and learn a bit more about, or recall a bit more about, basic probability theory. This will be some things which you all, some of you have seen and know well, and it might be fairly new to some of you, but these things you'll learn are important and useful widely outside of credit risk modeling. So they're worthwhile doing, both because we need them here and because they're just very widely useful. So this is, in particular, we'll learn about conditional expectations, one of the main concepts in probability theory. So now we look at a homogeneous credit. So page 8 in lecture 6, page 8 in lecture 6, we look at a homogeneous credit portfolio with M obligors. So we think that, say, a bank has made loaned out money to M companies, where the companies are sort of very similar. The risk of one is not different from the other. So the portfolio is homogeneous. And so this could be you loan money to small companies in the same area of business. And then you say that the portfolio is homogeneous. And this is what we'll look at. And we're looking at a specific time frame, T, capital T, which might be 1 year, perhaps, or 1 month, or other time periods. And we assume that the credit loss, L, is the same for all obligors. So if a company, say, defaults, then the bank loses L dollars or crowns or whichever currency you're thinking about, and L is the same for all these companies. Again, a not completely realistic assumptions, but it makes things easier to think about and to handle. Now, in the first bullet point, we set up the framework for doing the modeling. So we define Xi to be a random variable, which is I if obligor I defaults before time. So X1 is 1 if the first company defaults in the coming year, and it's 0 otherwise. That is, Xi is 0 if obligor I survives up to time T. And in the first model, which is basically, we're looking at it as a background for the real models, the models of practical importance, is that we assume that the default variables x1, x2, x up to xm or iid, independent with identical distributions. And we assume that they have the same probability of default. This is built in the assumption that we have a homogeneous portfolio. So in the second bullet point, it's listed the assumption that the probability that company one defaults is P, the probability that company two defaults is P, and so on. And of course, if the probability of default is one, then the probability is P. If the probability of default is P, then of course the probability of not defaulting is 1 minus P. Okay, with this notation, with the XIs and the credit loss L, we get the third bullet point. That is that the total credit loss in the portfolio at time T, which we denote by LM, is then obtained as the sum of the losses for the different obligors. So it's a sum, if you look at LM and the first equality, well then if X1 is 1, that is, if the first obliger defaults, then you lose L crowns. From the first obliger, you lose LXI, because this is 1 if the first obliger defaults, and 0 otherwise. From the second obliger, you lose, in the same way, LX2. That is, you lose X2 crowns if the second obliger defaults, and you lose nothing from the second obliger if it doesn't default. And then the entire loss is the sum of the losses to the first obliger, the loss to the second obliger, and so on. So you get the first sum in the third bullet point. Okay, here you can take the L outside of the sum because it's the same value for all the summands. And so you get LM as L times the sum of the XIs. And if you... And we'll use a lot the notation that the sum of the XIs, the number of defaults, that's denoted by N sub M. So N sub M is the sum from 1 to M of the XIs. It's a number of defaults. And then we have that LM is equal to L times NM. Okay, and an important observation we'll use all the time is we're interested in the this is the last bullet point. We're interested in the distribution of LM, the total loss. But of course, if we know the distribution of NM, we know also the distribution of LM, because we know if there's NM defaults, then the loss is LNM. Okay, so continue on the next sound clip.